gentlemen, our national anthem.
Round, see you lounge.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Clyde Lewis in the Ground Zero Lounge.
Thank you all for coming out of the Ground Zero Lounge tonight. I'm Clyde Lewis, and it's a great night tonight for the show that we have for you. And I know we have kind of a small crowd tonight. Usually we have a pretty big crowd. I don't know, maybe the rain, maybe the hail, maybe people are cold. They're thinking, hey, spring was supposed to come. It hasn't come. So they're, you know, wanting to stay home. I don't know. Maybe last Monday's show got people a little riled up and pissed off. But you know what? That's okay, because it gets people thinking. And, you know, it's really interesting, some of the things that went on last week where we had these people who are saying that they're like fighting for my freedom and all this other stuff when you get into their faces about stuff. And it just seems to me that that's just like the fail-safe, you know. It's like a lot of people came up to me afterwards and said they were offended by those guys because apparently they weren't necessarily fighting for my freedom. They were just fighting off the off an Astoria in the Coast Guard. So I don't know. We, you know, a lot of people want to go to their fail-saves when they feel uncomfortable. And tonight's show is going to be one of those uncomfortable shows again. But you know what? It's going to be a good show. Why? Because the theory that I'm going to talk about tonight, what I'm going to bring up, it's kind of like coming off the Easter Sunday theory. You know, Rolling Stone magazine actually gave kudos to Ground Zero Radio, the show that you're listening to and you're at right now. They actually said that we were a good resource for good conspiracy theories. And one of the things they said was that Ground Zero had a theory that they came up with, that we came up with back in 1997, that you don't have to be a nut to believe. And they actually put an article in Rolling Stone to talk about it, to talk about how the believability of this theory is really right on, and it makes you think when you pay attention to what's going on right now in the world. Now, if you're paying attention to news tonight, the show is going to really, I think, affect you. You know, there are many people who are familiar with the book The Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown. The movie Angels and Demons is going to be coming out in theaters as well. We talked a little bit about that last week. It's all about the Illuminati. It's about secret societies. It's about their relationships with governments and their relationships with churches and things like that. There's actually a group called the Priory of Zion or Sion. And actually what they are is the mainline churches have discredited the Priory of Zion as a hoax. Why? Because it has a number of things written in the Priory. The group has a number of philosophies that actually, if they were to come up with the theory, or if they were to, there are many people who believe that the Priory of Sion is a hoax because it basically destroys the mainline church's belief systems of Jesus, and of course those belief systems are dealing with whether or not he really died on the cross, and so that's what the big secret is, according to the Priory of Zion. They claim that he was taken down from the cross, revived, and then he went off and got married to Mary Magdalene, and he sired children. He had a number of children. Now, the secret would make the crucifixion invalid, the cornerstone of doctrine, salvation of the Catholic Church, a mockery. It would also, though, bring up another thing, and that is there royalty among us that have the bloodlines from the line of David? And if they are, do they run the world? And if they do run the world, Where do they get their power from? You've heard a number of people who are in big places of power, and they say, I rule over you. Well, the reason why they rule over us is because somewhere along the line, they were bestowed all kinds of honorariums, all kinds of things based on their bloodlines and their pedigrees, which is really stupid, because I could walk up to any one of you, and I could say, my blood is no different than your blood. But they believe that their blood is different than yours. Okay? They believe that their blood comes right from Jesus Christ. That's why they're royalty. That's why kings and queens rule over you, because they believe that their power and bloodlines are from them. They believe that if Christ did indeed have children, they're one of the blessed ones. They're one of the ones that are the descendants of those children. Merovingian legends about the blood of Christ, his descendants, have given us our monarchs throughout history. And that's how it happens. Now, a lot of you probably don't know this. Many of you do. Many of people heard what the Catholic Church has said about the Da Vinci Code, saying it's a hoax. Well, it's fiction. Yes, I agree, it is. But it's fiction based on a number of belief systems that are secret and strange. It is at this moment we reveal to you the mission of the Priory, their attempt to create a one-world religion based on the secret of the Holy Grail, the alleged bloodline descendants of Christ, and that according to these secret social societies, Christ's death was not divine nor an atonement for salvation. Therefore, the secret that is being held by the elite of this world is that through the myth of righteous blood, they hold the power to bring into the world a man that they can purport to trace the bloodlines of the house of David and call him the divine ruler of the new age. It's a new age that will create a counterfeit Zion on earth, a new age that will see a king in the service of Satan himself. And tonight I'm going to demonstrate to you who that is, and you just saw a picture of it. It's Prince William. Throughout every passage in Muslim, Jewish, and Christian history, there is a story about an empire that will appear to serve God, but in reality will be an ecumenical trap or a state religion. This has been called the New World Order. 70 million Christians believe that it is the empire of the Antichrist. It has been the objective of many secret societies to create a crisis where the people of the planet Earth will be forced to unite under one philosophy, one religious political order, one government body in order to establish a new theocracy known as Zion or Zion. Zion is a word in Greek that means the sun or where the sun dries up the land. Zion is literally the establishment of the new solar awareness to be led by the new sun god. Solar awareness. What about global warming? It's all about the sun, right? Global warming, heat, the idea that the sun has been dying off. They're getting us into that mindset. I know this sounds crazy to some of you, but it is being done by the power elite. They're telling you about your sun. They're telling you about global warming. They're telling you about it all because they're the ones that are going to be controlling the weather, the food, the air, everything. They have controls on it. That is what the future is going to be, and that's what they're working towards. H.G. Wells once wrote in The Open Conspiracy that the old faiths have become unconvincing, unsubstantial, and insincere. And though there are clear intimations intimations of a new faith in the world, it is still awaiting an embodiment in formula and organization that will bring into effective reaction upon human affairs as a whole. What he's getting at is that the old faith will become the new and the new the old. It will all have an interchangeable feeling and outcome. The Gnostics and the Ebionites will return, and we'll all go back to believing a lot of strange and interesting things about ourselves, preferably in a situation, or in their preferably in a situation, where we'll be held accountable in what is known as a new world order or a new government religious philosophy where the theocracy will rule kind of like a monarchy. We're already craving that now. The Priory of Zion has been the controversial secret agenda that the masters have had for a long time, and it indicates that there's a plot to create a new world government led by a charismatic leader who possesses a bloodline allegedly directly linked to Jesus Christ. And while the Priory is a threat to Christianity and major religious groups, the plot to create the Zion or the Jerusalem has not ceased, and many of the secret order of masters have now infiltrated governments and religions in order to bring about this new world order. When I talk about the New World Order, I'm not talking about the New World Order that a lot of paranoid right-wingers talk about. I'm talking about the New World Order that we're hearing about right now, okay, the one in England that's happening right now, all right? And the idea that this New World Order is something that Christians fear, something that Muslims fear, something that Jews fear. Why? Because they know that it's a part of their, I guess you could say, their background, their religious beliefs. And they're wondering who's going to be the chosen one. Now, a lot of people throughout history have tried to create this new world order. You've heard of Napoleon and Alexander the Great, and all these people have attempted to create this new world order. You've heard of the new Ordnung, that what Hitler wanted to bring about, the New Deal, you know, the new, you know, bring about changes. It happens all the time, and these ideal changes are to bring about Zion. Well, take a look at this. This is the Beijing 2008 Olympics. It says One World, One Dream. Now, if you take the logo and you move it around a little bit, you see what the agenda truly is. The utopia here with the Olympics is to bring the world together in one place to create Zion. That is the purpose of this. It's to get people in the mindset of Zion or the ideal utopia. Okay? I'm not lying when I say this is happening. It really is happening. A hymn sung by the British in churches, it's called Jerusalem. It's based on a poem called And Did Those Feet in Ancient Time by William Blank. The poem and song is linked to an idea in the book of Revelation describing the second coming, wherein Jesus returns and establishes a new Jerusalem or Zion in England. It also implies that Jesus visited Europe after the crucifixion. This has been the agenda of the Priory for a long time, to put that in motion, the idea that Jesus himself came to Europe and basically had children, and the descendants and the kings and the monarchs of Europe are these people, and that they are going to bring about a second coming of sorts. Observe this viral meme with the 2012 Olympics in London. You take the 2012 that's there in the London Olympics logo, you fiddle with it a little bit, and it spells out the word Zion. Zion, that's the agenda for the 2012 Olympics in London, England. The utopia, we go from one world, one dream, the meme of one world, one dream, to the gathering in London, England, the place where they've sang all along that the second coming is supposed to happen. 2012 is the date that everybody's fearing that the world's going to end, and if it does end, when is it going to happen? Well, it's not going to end. What's going to happen is there's going to be this new enlightenment that's going to take place in 2012. It's all there. You can see the signs. The solar Zion is going to be happening. Newsweek's recent cover story titled The End of Christian America highlighted a poll showing that while 62% of Americans consider the U.S. a Christian nation, a staggering 68% say religion is losing its influence on American life. The world is ready for its deliverance from evil, and in simple old-time religion, it's losing its ability to spark imagination and security. The new world order that they're proposing will change all that. Okay? Will change all that. Take a look at these newspaper articles. Brown's New World Order. Brown is the one, Gordon Brown, he's the one that's proposing a New World Order in England. It's predictive programming. It presents and acclimates the public to new ideas, trends, and beliefs. Fundamentally, it forms a compelling mental association between emotionally charged concepts and word patterns. The programming attempts to fuse emotive and abstract elements together, such as economic stability and New World Order, global cooperation and New World Order, new religious movement and New World Order, and underpinning everything else, more security, New World Order. These are all highlighted words and memes and triggers, predictive programming that I picked up reading these articles about the coming New World Order. This is coming out of Britain, okay? The very place where the European royalty wants to rule the world with their New World Order. The New World Order will look like a religious nobility. It'll look like something sacred, just like the Nazis had produced. The nations of the government will become, it'll become synonymous with religious authority. There'll be theocratic committees that will be installed to give ecumenical opportunity for all faiths. Each one will offer stability under the new rule. The New World Order will eventually have to produce a leader charismatic enough to lead everybody in the same direction. We all can have our individual beliefs, but it's community that matters, and we all have to have one crisis or one concern that will unite us all together. We have ideas of what those concerns might be, whether it be extraterrestrial or whatever, but it still stands. The crisis that's around us now will promote the idea that we need a new world order. The first president of the United Nations General Assembly, Paul Henri Spaak, who was also prime minister of Belgium and one of the early planners of the European Union, as well as the secretary general of NATO, affirmed, and this is a quote from him, "We do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient structure or stature to hold the allegiance of all the people of the world and to lift us up out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and whether he be God or devil, we shall receive him." Send us a man, whether he be God or devil, we shall receive him. Shows how bad things are getting. It's getting so bad economically, getting so bad religiously, that people are saying it doesn't matter if we get a god or a demon. We want change. Okay? And that's really kind of frightening when you think about it. It looks as if we're going to get our devil, or what we wish for, whether we got our devil. In the case of future leaders of the New World Order, they have to be both. Hitler. You look at Hitler and how he came about and how he was trying to bring a new world order. You got Obama wanting to bring about democratic socialism. You look at communism, Marxist socialism, and how they tried to change that way as well. Changes, whether they be good or bad, are something that we have to be careful with. There are blogs and websites devoted to examining the possibility that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. It's not true. He's not. He doesn't fit. And even though people worship him as if he is one, he's not one, okay? He's no Messiah. CNN even went as far as asked the question if he was the Antichrist. He's not. I'm going to show you why he's not tonight, because I'm going to show you why I think William is and why Rolling Stone backs me up on this. You know, we've been programmed to be accepting royalty here in the United States for a long time. Anything from Beckham to Posh, anything from Brad Pitt to, we read all this stuff, Britney Spears, Federline. You know, they want us to worship these people as if they're like royalty, when in reality, they're just idiots. And so they program us for this. How many people give a damn about what Michelle Obama wears by applause? Nobody. Isn't that a shock? Well, you know, newspapers aren't selling. Whenever she's on the cover, they don't sell. No one cares about Michelle Obama. But they're trying to get us to care about it because we need to have that queen and we need to have that king. And it's not working in America. It's not working. But they want to make sure that they lead us into this idea, because it used to be public interest generated news. Now, news has to generate public interest. It's really weird the way that happens. Take a look at these graphics that I'm showing you right now. This is actually a commercial about Obama. They will call him the one. He's the one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, he's never said that he's the one. Everybody else has said he's the one. Everybody else has said that he's the one that's going to deliver us. No, what's going to happen is the guy who's supposedly the Antichrist is going to get forward. He's going to say, yes, I am the one, okay? I'm going to admit it. Now, I'm not speaking as a religious man here, and I want to get that clear. I'm not saying that an Antichrist, if you will, is going to come into the world and he's going to say that he is. No, it's not going to happen that way. But see, there are certain rules and regulations, if you believe certain belief systems, which I'm trying to give to you, that make it more real and more of a reality. Now, the question is it by design, or is it because this prophecy is being fulfilled? I think it's by design, because I think they read the Bible too. I think they read Nostradamus too. And I think they read all the things that we read that we think, hey, this is really spooky stuff. When you have 79% of the country believing in this kind of shit, they're going to fall for it if it's given to them. Make no mistake, the puppet masters that created Obama are preparing the world for the arrival of the Antichrist and the counterfeit Zionist New World Order. Now, he's an agent psyop of this thing. It's premeditated. They're preparing you for the next step. Obama is the charismatic leader that everybody's going to go, oh, he's wonderful. Now, if we could just have one better than Obama. You know, because people think that it's now even the playing field. We're more polarized now than we've ever been now that Obama's president of the United States. They did polls, and you know what? Republicans hate him just as much as Democrats hated Bush. And it really is sad, because everybody thought there was going to be a big unifying thing, but it's not. So when you have a group of people that are polarized and divided, there's got to be one that comes up the middle and says, I'm the one that's going to save the day. I'm the one that's going to make that happen for you. Someone who's neutral, who isn't Democrat or Republican, someone who will give a damn about you and is charismatic enough to carry you. Go ahead.
Well, Smith & Wesson's stock is up 14%. It is. And gun sales are up 30% since the election because of the fear of the gun ban.
Right. People are afraid, and they still are afraid. The polarization is there. You know, I always call Obama the AC/DC God and King. He's the one that's basically preparing us for that Luciferian agenda. You know, anybody see this whole bullshit thing about Michelle Obama hugging the Queen? You don't do that, okay? Nobody hugs the Queen. Nobody touches the Queen. Nobody does, okay? That is a protocol no-no, okay? The reason why she was able to do that was because they know, the king knows and the queen knows, that they are a part of the agenda. And that's why they can do it. And the reason why I know this to be true is because there's actually a guy named Paul Keating who touched the queen back in 1992. He wasn't in on the whole shenanigan. Guess what happened? He was called the Lizard of Oz. He was ridiculed so badly that he couldn't face the press. The Obamas are in on it. They know. And, you know, you can laugh and say whatever, but let me tell you this. Why was there such a big deal about his bloodline and his relationship with the Cheneys and the Bushes and everybody else and the King and Queen of England? Because they wanted to find that connecting bloodline to make him royalty. They do that. They obsess over that shit, these people. They're into the bloodline. You know, the Queen was so upset she had to eat a small child just to get over the whole thing. You know, people, you guys would laugh at that, but, you know, the truth of the matter is, You take a look at the bloodlines of the queen and the king, and they all say they're related to Jesus, and they're related to all this other shit. Well, you know, in reality, if you go even farther back, you find that they are related to someone. His name's Vlad Tepes. Vlad Tepes was Vlad the Impaler, the son of Dracul, or Count Dracula. And you can look at these bloodlines and trace them back to these people. That's why they called him Count Dracula. He was royalty, allegedly, from some strange royal blood that no one knows about. So it's also coincidental that when you talk about Dracul and the son of the dragon, what do you see all over England? You see the dragon. It is the symbol of the city of London. Why is that? Is that like some hidden meaning to that? You take a look at that and you say to yourself, wow, that's pretty creepy when you see a dragon sitting there in the middle of London. It's because that's secretly the worship and the following of the sun gods. Right here is a pedigree taken from the Queen Victoria, who actually had the bloodlines traced, and then they continued the bloodlines on. It goes, if you notice, it goes all the way from Jesus Christ to the Virgin Mary, Zedekiah, the kings of Ireland, the kings of Scotland, Albert and Victoria, the Royal House of Windsor, George V, George VI, and Elizabeth II. It's funny how they went through everything from the Byzantine Empire on down through Jesus Christ to find the bloodlines all tied to these guys. They went through a lot of work to make this work. Now, I know that you probably don't believe any of this shit. I don't believe that they have the bloodlines of Christ either. But you know what? They do. It's obvious they went to all that trouble to try and find the bloodlines and put them all together so that they can rule over your ass. Okay? So it depends on what you believe. Depends on what they believe. But the whole idea here is to get Britannia to rule again. The royals are well-known racists as well. What's really funny is that I guess Prince Philip said something bad to Barack Obama about his intelligence. It was really interesting that we heard that. It was a bad comment coming from Prince Philip. But yeah, they're racists. And also Princess Diana once said of Charles and the rest of the royals that they're bloodsuckers as well. So, you know, you have to basically consider the sources when it comes to that. Philip is also a eugenicist who says that he wants to reduce the population. He said if he had his way and he could be reincarnated, he would come back as a disease and he would kill off the world. There's a really sweet guy there. Yeah, well, you know, that's how they are, and this is the way they are. The royals, they tend to get respect for some reason. I don't know why, because they're the most rottenest people on the planet. Not only that, but they also believe in these grail legends that I'm trying to talk to you about. No, they believe that the Holy Grail, of course, happened, that Jesus didn't die, that he basically had kids, and that they're basically the sires and the descendants of those kids, even though they have no ties, and they went to great troubles to make all this shit up. Go ahead.
You were kind of exaggerating. He didn't say he'd come back as a virus to kill off the world.
Well, he said he'd kill off some of the population.
To kill off a huge percentage of the population.
Sure.
To do his part, but not.
Sure. Well, okay. So he's nicer. Thank you for clearing that out. He's a nicer man because he's only going to kill a little bit of the world, not the whole bunch of the world.